let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello. Welcome. One and all. Let's all come together and love Lane. I've got several Lane stickers. I've got a little Lane wall hanging. It's a really fun show. But welcome. Howdy to Claudio M. Stuff.
That nobody knows where the rivers flow, and I call it home. And there's no more lies, and the darkness is light, and nobody cries. There's only butterflies.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Yes, indeed. Hello. It's 1903. It was
Here's some information.
Uh-oh. I don't know what happened. My Siri sometimes acts up. I think it's because my watch is a weird way. It's kind of off. It's a little bizarre. But I recently ran into a friend I hadn't seen in a while, a couple years. And when I was talking to him, he stopped and said, "I forgot how confusing of a person you are." So that's just that's how I'm doing. You are listening to News to Me. It's a daily news show, Monday through Friday, where we talk about what's going on in the world. See what's happening. Usually we're chatting it up in calm. If you want to hang out there, all you gotta do is SSH over to sdf.org. If you're new, you can use the word new, the username new, N-E-W at sdf.org. And from there, you can follow the login sign up process, and then you can log in. And once you can log in, then you can launch calm. And once you launch calm, that means you can press G for go to and type anon radio, all lowercase, all one word, and boom. You'll be in the cool room with someone with like Flipper 88 and Steg and Jeff and Tobe and X1. It's a whole party. Moon Lives Matter. They've got to if Publius is going to end up there. Oh yeah, shout out to Publius too, our local lunar sea film star and also Atomic Society member. Who knows all sorts of cool facts about nuclear energy. Anyway, howdy. Want to be sure we're connected? Yep, we're going out. All right. So, hey, in Connor Reach. shout out to the Martians. There's actually a brewery in town that's all about space travel and figuring out, like, 1% of their proceeds they donate to figuring that stuff out. Yeah, that's why we gotta move to Mars or some other country. So if you are tuning in and you're hanging out, we're gonna start up. Let's get going. But before we start, I just want to mention, if you are following along from the past and you want to listen to you want to get a list of all the stories we're talking about, you go to tx0.org/1h1. That's tangoxray0.org/1hotel1. That's right, all lowercase with numerals in there. tangoxray0.org/1hotel1. tx0.org/1h1. All right, and if you go there, boom, you will see 21 stories on the list, which of course means, don't worry, we're not going to read all of them. We start in start with death, like we always do. Oh, wait, we got to do this the right way. We start the way we pretty much always start, and that, my friends, is with
world news.
Irish UN peacekeeper killed in southern Lebanon after convoy comes under fire. An Irish soldier of the UN peacekeeping force in South Lebanon near the Israeli border was killed and 3 wounded after their convoy came under fire, Irish officials said. Irish Prime Minister Michael Martin said he was deeply shocked and saddened by the loss of life. The UN peacekeeping force, UNIFIL, UNIFIL, said the incident happened near the village of Al-Aqbaya, just outside the force's area of operation in a strip along Lebanon's border with Israel. The Irish military said a convoy of two armored utility vehicles carrying eight personnel traveling to Beirut came under small arms fire around 21:15 GMT on Wednesday. It said four personnel were taken to hospital near Lebanon's main southern city of Sidon, where one was pronounced dead on arrival. Another underwent surgery and was in serious condition, while the other two were treated for minor injury. One of them got surrounded by a hostile mob, I think that's the only way you could describe them, and shots were fired, and unfortunately one of the peacekeepers was killed. Hezbollah security chief Wafik Safa told Lebanon's LBCI, that's Lima Bravo Charlie India television, that the incident was unintentional. He too said the peacekeepers had taken an unusual route, but called for investigators to be given time to establish the facts. So, just another tragic loss of life there in Lebanon. In Taiwan, they've experienced a 6.2 magnitude quake, and major aftershocks are expected. A 6.2 magnitude earthquake struck off Taiwan's east coast on Thursday and was followed by multiple lighter aftershocks, the island's weather bureau said, with shaking felt in the capital of Taipei. The quake hit just after midday, about 30 kilometers off the coast of Hualien County, at a shallow depth of 6 kilometers. The U.S. Geological Survey reported a lower 5.9 magnitude reading and a depth of 12 kilometers. The National Fire Agency said six hikers who were climbing Yushan, the island's highest mountain, suffered minor injuries when they were hit by falling rocks. The quake shook buildings in the capital, according to witnesses. It was felt all over Taiwan because it's very shallow, Mr. Chin Kuchang, head of the Weather Bureau's Seismological Center, told reporters. So, lots of stuff going on there. X1 points out, when you kill someone, it is a sad incident. Howdy, Quentin. Welcome. Alright, so there's more to that. More going on than that, of course. Jump over here. In Thailand, the princess has collapsed. If we go ahead here and check this out, switch to that tab. The Thai king's eldest daughter collapsed from a heart condition on Wednesday evening, Thailand's royal palace says. Princess Bajarat. Tiaba, the eldest daughter of King Vajiralongkorn, collapsed while training her dogs northeast of Bangkok, the police said. The 44-year-old was taken to a nearby hospital, then taken by helicopter to Bangkok, where she's being treated. The palace described her condition last night as stable to a certain extent. Medical bulletins from the royal palace in Thailand are typically vague and cryptic, and from the single statement issued about the princess, it's difficult to gauge how serious her condition is, says BBC's Jonathan Head in Bangkok. So, the princess is sick. Hey, Jeff, welcome. We got to jump around here to keep our tabs straight. The International Criminal Court has confirmed a conviction of a Ugandan rebel chief. Who could that be? Well, let's find out for you. The International Criminal Court on Thursday upheld the conviction for war crimes and crimes against humanity of Dominic Ongwen, a Ugandan child soldier who became a top commander of the Lord's Resistance Army. The appeals chamber rejects all the grounds of appeal presented by the defense and unanimously confirms the decision on the guilt of Mr. Ongwen, the presiding judge Luz del Carmen Ibanez Carranza, adding that the court would rule later on Thursday on the rebel leader's appeal against his 25-year prison sentence. Dominic Ongwen, abducted on his way to school at the age of 9 by the Lord's Resistance Army, led by fugitive Joseph Kony, you may remember there was a joke event where it was like, oh, we should elect Joseph Kony as president. He was convicted last year of murder, rape, and sexual slavery in northern Uganda in the early 2000s. The ICC does not know the exact age of Dominic Ongwen, who appears to be in his 40s. He had appealed against the conviction and sentence at the ICC, based in The Hague, 6 years after his trial began. Founded in Uganda in the 1980s by former choir boy Joseph Kony to establish a Ten Commandments regime, the LRA terrorized large areas of Central Africa for 30 years, kidnapping children, maiming civilians on a massive scale, and enslaving women.
The appeals chamber wishes to recognize the extreme suffering endured by the victims of Dominic Ongwen's crimes during the period covered by the charges, the judge said. Dominic Ongwen was and still is a child, his lawyer, Crispus Ayina Odongo, told the court in February, and that his client still believed he was possessed by the spirit of Joseph Kony. The ICC prosecutor recently asked judges to confirm the charges against Joseph Kony, who had been on the run for more than 17 years, so that once captured, his trial can take place as soon as possible. So, it's very scary and sad stuff going on here. But yeah, essentially the rest of the article is just about trying to get Kony to come stand for justice too. So very sad, troubling stuff going on there. Bangkok Zat's going to be my next nickname. right on. I think Thailand's a very interesting place. Thailand and Malaysia, I think, are very... they've got an interesting history. So, I just wish that I... how can I put it? I have trouble with names and nouns in those countries, and I wish I didn't. All right, so that's what's going on there in the International Criminal Court. But in the European Parliament, there's something called Qatargate. It's not quite what you might expect. There's a lot of corruption. People know that FIFA is a very corrupt organization, and they know that professional sports and gambling is always corrupt. But it's always a surprise when gambling and politics meet. Or sports and politics meet. Shaken by accusations of corruption leveled against several of its legislators, the European Parliament, historically seen as a leader in transparency, is coming to terms with the arrests of several of its members of parliament on suspicion of accepting bribes from Doha in exchange for defending Qatari interests in Strasbourg. Allegations of corruption involving Vice President Eva Akali, along with five MEPs and parliamentary attachés, the European institution, once seen as a leader in lobbying transparency, has seen its image tarnished in recent days by a scandal dubbed Qatargate. The European Parliament is committed to promoting transparency and ethics when it comes to lobbying activities, reads its official website. It also states that together with the Council of European Union and the European Commission, it uses a common transparency register to monitor the activities of interest representatives. Each institution has the option to take additional measures, and members of Parliament are instructed to publish information regarding communication with lobbyists. Looks like a, that looks like a Southwest Airlines regional coming in. It is colored like Southwest, but it is definitely not like a 747 or anything. It's got the flared up wingtips, and still the engines are on under the wing, so a little bit bigger than the other planes that fly by. Anywho, check in with Calm. Tobe has left to switch computers, which is a good reminder. The Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe happens every goddamn day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. All you gotta do is tune your computer. You're listening to it right now, so all you gotta do is stick around until 1930 UTC, boom, and you will be all good. let's see, Quentin's like, is it coming in hot? No. Nothing hot comes in where I'm at, except for that one day when we saw a fire across the street a little ways. That was pretty hot. One time I got to see some of the solar panels on the roof of one of the buildings here catch on fire. That was kind of neat. But alas, nothing else super exciting. all right. So there's a lot more going on. Let's just keep it moving. I guess we can play our little sound, even though we didn't play a song. Let's play our sound.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. All right, so let's check it out. Speaking of airplanes, in the UK, airport security is going to scrap its 100 milliliter liquid rule. So if you're flying out of the UK, some security rules on liquids and items such as laptops and airports and hand luggage, airport hand luggage will be scrapped in 2024. So not right quite yet, but in a year. The government has set a deadline of June 2024 for most UK airports to install new high-tech 3D scanners that show more detailed images of baggage. The changes will see the 100-milliliter liquid rule increased to 2 liters and mean passengers won't need to remove electrical items from bags at security. A previous installation deadline was pushed back due to the pandemic. Passengers are currently required to remove items such as tablets, laptops, and liquids from their hand luggage for screening at security checkpoints. Liquids such as sunscreen, shampoo, or toothpaste need to be 100 milliliter or under and must be in a clear plastic bag. The limits have been in place since November 2006, and their introduction marked the end of a ban on liquids in the cabin imposed 3 months earlier, when British police say they had foiled a plot to blow up as many as 10 planes using explosives hidden in drink bottles. The government said its requirement for airports to upgrade screening equipment to the type similar to CT scanners used in hospitals will mean eventually the rules on electrical items can be lifted and the liquid limit can be extended to 2 liters. So, can you imagine if you could bring 2 liters on a flight, how convenient that would be? yes. Liters of water. So, it's pretty darn exciting that you could show up and be like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and bring my coffee from home. I'm going to bring a thermos of coffee. Oh, look at that. I'm no longer a criminal subject to seizure at the airport. So that should be very cool. Something to look forward to. Because we're about a little over halfway through, let's jump into some energy and other kind of like more off-the-cuff kind of stuff. First, we stay in the UK and talk about Westinghouse. Westinghouse is targeting new UK-based uranium conversion capabilities. The UK government funding of £13 million, or $15.9 million US, will be used to help prepare the necessary design and enabling work to begin new conversion capabilities for the world's utilities from 2028. The money from the UK's Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy, along with Westinghouse's own investment, aims to progress the facility, which would provide both pre-processed and naturally occurring uranium conversion services to utilities around the world, as they seek to diversify supplies and transition from Russian-provided services. It will be based at the Springfield site in Lancashire in northwest England, which already produces fuel for the UK advanced gas-cooled reactor fleet. The funding will mean less reliance on imports, with Westinghouse saying it will be able to offer utilities a high-quality Western fuel alternative. Tarek Choho, Westinghouse president of nuclear fuel, said there is a strong global appetite for diversified and secure sources of supply of fuel and services, and the UK's nuclear excellence and experience, particularly at Springfield's, offer utilities an attractive option. We're delighted the UK government recognizes the role of Springfield's and its workforce as a strategic asset that it supports a clean and secure energy future. Whew, a lot of verbiage there, but it's pretty cool. Westinghouse and the UK government pouring in money for research. Let's see. Flipper is saying, okay. There's discussion about homelessness and dealing with that in calm right now. It's an interesting problem that could be solved with enough money and will, political will. But that can be a little bit challenging. So we'll have to find out one day. City of Austin has a real bad problem. Hey, Prater. Oh, well, goodbye, Prater. Thanks for hanging out for a little bit. So anyway, we're going to keep on moving because there's more nuclear news to talk about. Well, actually, one other story. Chinese nuclear plant starts supplying power, industrial heating. This is something I called out the other day because there's megawatt thermal and megawatt electric. And Publius pointed out that that's how these things are rated. And this is the first external story I'm seeing that's talking about heat energy. China's first nuclear energy industrial heating project has officially been completed and put into operation at the Qinshan Nuclear Power Plant in Zhejiang Province, China National Nuclear Corporation announced. The project started on July 15th this year, with the construction of the main network completed on November 15th, and entered trial operation on November 21st. CNNC said the project can provide guaranteed 24-hour heat supply with annual industrial heat supply of about 288,000 gigajoules. This, it says, is equivalent to saving about 10,000 tons of standard coal and reducing carbon dioxide emissions by about 24,000 tons. This is another major breakthrough made by CNNC, Kinchon Nuclear Power, and Haiyan County in the comprehensive utilization of nuclear energy since the completion of the first phase. So this is pretty darn neat. In May, CNNC started work on a project at the plant in China's Jiangsu province to supply steam to a nearby petrochemical plant, due for completion at the end of 2023. It will be China's first industrial-use nuclear energy system, energy steam supply project. So, pretty cool. I don't know. I think it's pretty fun. I don't know. Nuclear power's rad. Let's see. Yeah, I don't think that if, at least in Austin, that's interesting, because they go out, in other big cities they do this, they go out and they survey all the homeless people and ask them, hey, why are you homeless? What are you doing out here? All that kind of jazz. And a small percentage, you know, like 5 or 10% or something like that, have a mental health issue that they're currently dealing with that's preventing them from having a home. A lot of people, it's just, you know, it's just good old-fashioned racism or oppression or just some kind of capitalist game they lost. I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to get in bogged down on it. It'll make you sad. We don't want to be sad. Let's talk about something good. Firmageddon. Here's something good, I guess, if you hate trees. More than 1 million acres of state forests contain trees that have succumbed to stressors exacerbated by multi-year drought. Scientists have discovered a record number of dead fir trees in Oregon, and a foreboding sign of how drought and the climate crisis are ravaging the American West. A recent aerial survey found that more than 1 million acres of forest contain trees that have succumbed to stressors exacerbated by a multi-year drought. Images released by the U.S. Forest Service show Oregon's lush green expanses dotted with ominous swaths of red. It's stunning, said Daniel DePinte, an aerial survey program manager within the Forest Service, who led the agency's Pacific Northwest Regional Area Survey, aerial survey, noting that this year was the highest mortality rate for firs in the area in history. I hope Tobe's trees are okay. Big tree die-off. Not necessarily the happiest thing. Sorry, let's see if we can get something happy. Let's talk about death and destruction some more. We got about 6 minutes to go, so why not? Nah, we're not. That's just too... It's too heavy, man. It's too heavy. Here we go. Colorado boy hospitalized after horse drags him for 2 miles. One sec. Sorry about that. Had to clear my throat. An 8-year-old boy from Colorado suffered burns and a broken skull after a horseback riding excursion during a family vacation in Belize went terribly wrong. Shucks, I thought this happened in Colorado. Stephen Carrion was horseback riding on 7th of December in Belize when he fell off his mount and was dragged along the pavement for 2 miles. The boy suffered third-degree burns and a fractured skull as a result. Stephen is now back in Colorado where he's receiving treatment for his burns and injuries to his brain, according to a Facebook post shared by his mother, the most reliable news source. Despite having his skull fractured and his brain bruised, it appears Stephen has not suffered brain damage, according to CBS News, though he may need to have part of his scalp replaced. Oh, man, I'm getting chilly. My bones are stiffening up. I'm sorry, I kind of lost the plot here. Yep, everybody should have a minimum necessary stuff. You should have a place to sleep, a place to poop, and food to eat. So the bare minimum. It really shouldn't be that hard. We've got enough money. Alright. I'm getting choked up here because of the weather. I I took an allergy pill about 22 hours ago, and it's wearing off. Here you go. In Florida, a cop is dressed up like the Grinch and handing out onions to people, kind of as a mockery of their role as enforcers of the state. They cops think it's funny to terrorize people with absurd alternatives to punishment. Several motorists caught speeding through an elementary school zone on Florida's Keys Overseas Highway received an onion as a reminder to slow down from sheriff's deputy dressed as a Grinch. Colonel Lou Caputo, a 37-year-old veteran of the Monroe County Sheriff's Office, came up with the concept more than 20 years ago. He was back on the streets this Tuesday. If caught by Caputo, drivers who travel about 5 miles per hour or less above the school speed limit can choose between traffic citations or an onion. Those eating beyond that likely receive a costly ticket. It's about education awareness that our school zones are still operating, even though it's the holiday season, Caputo said. We want people to slow down. Caputo says he portrays the character created by Dr. Seuss to give motorists a gift, but always to call attention in a nice way to the need to obey speed limits in school zones. It catches them off guard, Caputo said, but when I give them a clear choice of a citation or the onion, they'll take the onion. It's always, I don't know, I'll ramble a little bit, but it's always a surprise to me because the police are wonderful, brilliant class traitors that should definitely walk away from whatever they're being offered. But when they do silly stuff like this, it's like, oh, look at how humanizing they are. But don't forget, never forget. They can kill you for any reason without really any repercussions. I might as well mention this guy. Christian Glass was 22 years old, and he was out for a drive in the Colorado mountains when his car got stuck. He called 911, and less than 2 hours later, he'd been shot dead by police. His grieving parents tell Sheila Flynn of their fight for justice as two officers faced charges in his killing. So I guess maybe he was a white guy, so he's getting some justice, maybe. Anyway, probably not. Anyway, never trust the police. They're not your friends. I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Goals turn is to be a 7.